Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yeah, good morning, mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 19.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, what Australians should know about meningococcal disease? A rare but devastating disease, invasive meningococcal disease, IMD, can progress rapidly and result in death within 24 to 48 hours of symptom onset. While cases typically peak in winter and early spring, they can occur at any time of the year, with symptoms of IMD difficult to recognise as they may be similar to flu-like illnesses. With children less than 2 years of age and young adults aged 15 to 24 most at risk, experts are advising Aussies to know the signs and symptoms of the disease to act quickly as temperatures cool. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now. Dr. Charlotte Hesp, Head of General Practice at University of Notre Dame School of Medicine in Sydney. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Charlotte, coming to the program.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us more about IMD, please?
Invasive meningococcal disease is a really rare disorder, but one that is potentially devastating and very rapid. So it's a bacterial infection that causes an infection, particularly around the brain. It affects mostly children under the age of 2 and adolescents between the ages of 15 and 24. And the symptoms that people present with can range from high fevers, headaches, confusion, loss of appetite, not drinking, and for the older children, neck stiffness.
Thank you. How does IMD transmit between individuals?
IMD is a bacterial infection. It's a bacteria that lives in our throats, and because it lives in noses and throats, it can be spread through coughing, sneezing, living in close quarters with each other, so sharing living space, and obviously kissing. So it is an infection that can be spread just between people who live close together but also are friends and acquaintances.
What advice do you have regarding the IMD awareness?
So for me as a GP, I'd really like families to have conversations with each other about what this illness might look like and to understand how to actually recognise it if symptoms arise. I really prefer that people ask the question about whether they should be worried about the illness that their child or teenager has than that they don't seek attention.
Thank you, Doctor. And where can Australians go to find out more?
There is some really good information out there. First step is asking your own GP or your local pharmacist, or you can go to a website which is called nomeningococcal.com.au. Please go and find out more. Knowing enough information can save lives.
Dr. Charlotte, thank you so very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a great day. All the best to you. Thank you. So there we have it. That's Dr. Charlotte Hesp, Head of General Practice at University of Notre Dame School of Medicine, Sydney. And the question is what Australians should know about meningococcal disease. Very important space. Let's not make you laxy-daisy. Check with, of course, your doctors, your First Nation radio, First Nation health organisations as well. Always check with your First Nation health organisations. Thank you very much. Stay tuned, your mob. Add to the conversation, National Talk Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Too deadly.
Mirror on the wall, less than image of my face.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do. Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
My dancing days are over, but that's all right. I hardly ever stay up late at night.
No need to boogie and no need to waltz. Seems my legs have got some serious faults.
So I don't twist.
I don't shout.
Just getting there is what it's all about. I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do. Built a fire and a cushy seat. Just enough room for me and my feet. It's painted red and its brakes are tight.
We can do what we did at the traffic lights.
We don't linger.
We don't pause.
We give it a go.
Just because.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can.
If I'm late, no hurry up to the pearly gates.
Me and Mr. Zimmer, we're the best of friends. Bosom buddies when the evening ends.
So it's early to bed and early to rise. Just getting round is an old man's prize.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can.
It's all about.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
I got the walking train blues. Steady, steady is the best I can do.
Best I can do.
Got the walking train blues.
Man with a red walking frame.
Yes, my girl. Goes faster than a blue one.
Can't we go now? If we leave now, we'll get there by dawn.
Steady, steady, my girl. We'll get there.
Steady, steady. Slowly, slowly. Oh.
Which way you feel?
Oh, I saw you now. Can't we mother sit down? Oh.
Got the walking frame. Steady, steady is the best I can.
Freshwater,
in Malayo,
I na-na-na-na-na. All over my Australia. Go Marikia Wakalili. You better run, you better take off. From the land down under, all over both my Australia. Go Marikia Wanga Lili, walk back when I wonder, living under one sun. Come from the land down under. All over my Australia. Go Marikia Wanga Lili. Walk back when I wonder. Living under one sun. We come from the land down under. Can you see, can you feel the wonder? Bookmark Malawangan, living under one sun.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumblebee Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, the question is, what's hiding in your garage? Increased garage fires is putting experts on high alert. Garage fire-related incidents are on the rise, and with the Country Fire Authority responding to 26 garage fires from January to July 23, compared to 28 in total of 22. Look, with that, we're going to catch up with John Griffin, Queensland State Manager at Brooks Australia. And a very good morning, John. How are you?
Good, Trevor. How are you, mate?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we tend to get laxy-daisy. Garage doesn't always hold cars. Sometimes becomes our storage room, doesn't it? And we put a lot of things in there. But the increase of garage fires is putting experts on high alert, John.
It sure has, Trevor. Look, one of the big things is when it comes to the fire safety around the home, the garage is a place that often is overlooked because generally we park our car in there or we store bits and pieces. But this is where all the potential fire hazards can happen, Trevor.
Mm.
You know, we store a variety of things from flammable liquids. We might have some old paint tins. We've probably got the mower and we got the mower petrol.
Yeah.
And then now the new one with everyone getting, say, around electric scooters and all that sort of stuff. So you've got battery chargers in there as well.
Okay, yes.
Make it really flammable and dangerous.
So, look... Should we have smoke alarms in the garages?
You know what? It's not a bad idea, mate. Any time you can get early detection to help you get out of that house if a fire starts, it's really important. And all we need to do, in Brooks Australia, we make a variety of alarms. We actually have a smoke alarm and a heat alarm, which we call a multifunction,
okay,
which will pick between the two, whether there's smoke or whether there's a sudden rise in temperature. and that'll set that alarm off, which hopefully will wake the occupants and get them out of the house quick and safely.
What's the difference between smoke alarm and heat alarm, mate?
Yeah, well, basically a smoke alarm, mate, it picks the particles of the smoke, and then that sets that alarm off. But the heat one picks a sudden temperature rise, so maybe an explosion from a petrol can or something. It'll just
poof
up and there'll be a big thing of heat, so automatically that'll go off as well, which is great.
So what advice do you have for Aussies looking to keep their garages fire safe?
Look, just simple things like, you know, make sure you're not overloading your appliances. If you're doing your charging, make sure you finish charging at night before you go to bed, so you're not leaving it on charge overnight.
Yes.
And keep everything nice and clear and make sure there's plenty of space around there so airflow can happen as well, Trevor.
All right, fantastic. Now, you're the Queensland State Manager at Brooks Australia. How long have you been holding the reins there, John?
Mate, I've just ticked over my 12 months about 3 days ago.
So, okay, enjoying the journey?
Yet, mate, so it's good. Yeah, it's good fun, mate. It's a really good job. It's really exciting, especially doing a lot of this. Now we're all getting involved with this media release.
Sure.
It's just really important for people to understand the importance of having working smoke alarms in their house, because it only takes 2 to 3 minutes for a fire to take hold of a house. So it doesn't give you much time to get out.
And look, we've had fatality over the years, which is not good, and it's us being, well, not too laxy-daisy with the situation, yep?
Oh, exactly, mate, and just be really vigilant. For all your listeners out there, if you get the opportunity, test your smoke alarms once a month. Make sure you're giving them a clean every couple of months. But most importantly, make sure you've got a fire plan for your family, so if an alarm does go off, you know where to meet and everyone gets out safely.
Yeah, beautiful. John, thank you very much for sharing, my friend. All the best. We'll talk soon. You take care.
Take care. Thanks again, Trevor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. That's John Griffin, Queensland State Manager at Brooks Australia. And we're talking about what's hiding in your garage is the question. Increased garage fires is putting experts on high alert. So as John mentioned there, garage fire-related incidents are on the rise, with the Country Fire Authority responding to 26 garage fires. That's from January to July. That's back in 23, and compared to 28 in total in 2022. So despite research showing 4 in 5 Aussies agree it's extremely important for smoke alarms to give an early warning, firefighters still confronted 370 shed and garage fires. Brooks Australia is encouraging Aussies to consider installing heat or smoke alarms in the garage, as well as interconnected smoke alarms in their houses, to keep on top of the fire safety across the entire home. There it is, your mob. Stay safe. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbarib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you say, yarn up strong, your mob, too deadly.
Forest, yeah, eating only wild berries and fruit.
Hey, why?
When we could walk about in our rainforest, yeah. When we could walk about, then people talk about. Ndara jine no wangara jine na baroji jine na pulkoro jine. Ndara jine no wangara. From Jabba Guy, him and the Yabba Wawin,
Squawk Pig, hey, why?
They are the protectors of these rainforests of North Queensland, yeah. And when they go walk about, their people talk about. And Dara Jine, no one, Dara Jine, na Baroji Jine, na Pulkoro Jine. Yeah.
are dry from Jabba Guy and Bullwai. Him and the Jabba Wawin. Scrubkin.
Hey, why?
They are the protectors of this rainforest of North Queensland, yeah. And when they go walk about, then people talk about. Dara jine no wangara jine na baroji jine na bulgoro jine. Dara jine no wangara jine na baroji jine na bulgoro jine. Hey, hey.
Hey, mob, this is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah. G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, get excited, you mob. Dance Rights opens registration for 2024. And Dance Rights Australian National First Nations Dance Competition and will be held on the Sydney Opera House Forecourt on 19 and 20 October 2024. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Head of First Nations Programming at Sydney Opera House. That's Michael Hutchins. And a very good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning from down here in Sydney.
Down in Sydney. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, my brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
My mob are from Aranda country, which is desert people, so from around Alice Springs, central Aranda.
Yeah, beautiful, fantastic, good footprint. Down there at the, Opera House is where the Dance Rights will be performing, 19, 20 October. Give us a bit of background in regard to Dance Rights. How long they've been operating for?
Oh, Dance Rights has been going since 2015. We had a couple of years off during COVID, like many things, but last year was the first year back on the forecourt, and we had close to 10,000 people come, and it's free for all the community and family from right across the city and beyond to come along.
And that would be a fantastic platform for tourists as well, would it not?
Oh, yeah, a lot of tourists, because it's free, and a lot of tourists just see this amazing thing going on, and they just go, oh, and they wander in. So it's really, it's for the mob first, but it's for everyone else to join in and just have a look at, you know, they're still living and breathing culture.
Fantastic. And our prize money up to $22,000, is that correct?
Yep, $22,000 for the cultural dance. And then we also have the wild card, which is cultural dance is very much about your traditions and your culture and, and handing down the generations of dance across many thousands of years in some cases. And then we also have the wild card, which is very much about dance groups being able to just let loose and do whatever they want. That could be contemporary or anything new and wild.
Good, 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 good. Fantastic. And regarding for people to fill out operation registrations, how many in group? What's the maximum people you can have in one group? Because we travel with mob, you know that.
Well, because of logistics, for each dance group, it has to be a maximum of 15, unfortunately.
15.
Because we need to fit everyone on the forecourt. It's big, but as you know, some of these mobs are huge. But what we've managed to do is because of 15, it makes it really tight, and all the groups work with those parameters.
Oh, fantastic. Do we have prize money for runners-up and things like that?
Oh, yep. There's prize money for the runner-up as well, which is $6,000, and there's also $5,000 for the wild card. And also we have a generational competition as well. We have two $4,000 awards that the judge awards to different groups that they feel are really handing down that generational dance stick to, from youngest to oldest to elders. So.
Michael, it also becomes a platform to keeping our culture alive, does it not? Mm. Yeah.
Well, it's very much what it's about. It's about it's a celebratory moment for First Nations groups and communities to showcase their culture and storytelling tradition. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And I was talking about tourists, but also it brings a... it brings business to the table for Sydney restaurants and hotels and what have you.
Of course. That's always having that economy little bump secondary is all good for everyone as well, for sure.
Fantastic. But, now, how long have you been head of First Nations programming at Sydney Opera House?
I'm into my ninth month. I follow on the tradition from the great Auntie Rhoda Roberts.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Big shoes to fill, but...
Yes, and also Bo James as well. So, I'm loving it, though. It's a great challenge, and it's an important one.
Yeah, so, it is. Yeah. It is. A great platform. So, the Dance Rights opens the registration. So, how do people register?
They go onto the Opera House website, just Google it, and search for Dance Rights, and has everything you need for the application. Or else they can email danceright@sydneyoperahouse.com and we'll send on any information they need as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. We'll put the word out in the street. Registration open for Dance Rights, and now the operating time is on the 19th and 20 October 2024, Opera House Forecourt. Michael Hutchins, you keep smiling, my brother, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Speak soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. That's Michael Hutchins, head of First Nations programming at Sydney Opera House. Looks like a great opportunity to get to Sydney, perform for represent your mob, and perform for the deadly people in Sydney, the tourists and what have you. But also a good gathering, you could say. Talk about corroboree and shake a leg and catch up with mob. Big yarny circle it is. A dance rights open registration as of now, 2024. Go to the webpage or Google Dance Rights, or go to the City Opera House webpage and you'll be able to find it for your registration. Look, the winning group will receive $22,000. And also we have the wildcard dance group up to $5,000 prize money there. And runners-up is $6,000 in the Dance Rights performance there. So, look, fantastic. Do check it out. And, look, it's a great platform for you. I've been running for 15-odd years. Had a break there, 2000 for the COVID-19, but up and running as of last year again, and now this year, 2024. To Daily Mob, your daily program here, National Talk Black, with the Ballyround Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's Bama Brippa Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout to the NERS team here on National Talk Black.